Jai Masi. You have to say loudly, okay? Jai Masi. We are so glad and happy and honored to be here. But you know, as Dave was hearing the sound of the kingdom when the kids were all making noise, I was actually seeing the colors of the kingdom when all the ladies were wearing this Nepali dress. Yeah, so I'd like to invite all the women who's wearing a Nepali dress here. Is that okay? This is such a great honor. Let's give a big hand to all the ladies. Come on. And you guys are very serious guys, okay? We are more fun type people, okay? So I want to sing a Nepali song and they'll do a Nepali dance. How about that? Woo-hoo! Come on, here. Oh, by the way, my wife is wearing a Bhutanese dress, okay? So please come here, and I'm going to sing a song, Nepali song, and you guys will dance a Nepali dance because you have seen that dance in Kathmandu, yeah? Oh, yeah? Okay? Is that okay? No. Mero jeevan le, jeevan le, tapai lai ma ima ho, tapai lai ma ima ho. परमेश्वर को चोको बेदी मा चढ़ाउँछु यो मेरो जीवन मेरो सहारा जीवनले मेरो सहारा हृदयले तपाईलाई महिमा Let's give hands to all ladies, eh?
Sometimes we don't have word to describe you how much we love you, but sometimes our, you know, this outer, this dress also, you know, is the expression of how much we, like, love you and, yeah.
That's saying that, you know, sometimes we dress just to express our love for you, okay? And thankfulness to you. So anyway, this is a Nepali weekend, eh? I thought I'm here for the WCV weekend, but I'm really been, you know, enjoying the time with everyone. And, you know, and even the HRV churches are happy that we are here. And, you know, want to be, I'm just feeling at home. You know, this is part that life that I started, 20 years ago and still on. And in a Nepali way that we like to honor you guys, okay? I can't do this to everyone, but in our tradition that we want to be thankful to God and also to the leadership of WCV and everyone that's been part of our life for our past 20 years. So we do this our way. So my wife and my son will help me. Okay, so this is how we honor by putting hat to the pastors of this church. So if you pastors, you just stand wherever you are, or Andy, if you can come. And where is Nathan? Yes, this extra large. Okay, let's give a hand. Yeah, that's to John. Oh, ho, ho, ho. That's to Andy. Okay, Mike, where's Mike? Brother Mike, My friend Mike, this would like to honor you, okay? Okay, yeah. Ani, okay. And for wives, and Suhail, where's Suhail? You're on. Okay. Okay. Ani, wife for love, you know. Okay, and to the wives. Okay, Becky, where are you? Becky and Violet. Okay. Oh, I have to cut it. Okay, let's bind them together. Okay. We didn't check that, eh? But that's okay. So just do everyone. One, two, and three. Okay, thank you. Let's have a big hand to our friends. Okay, guys, thank you so much.
Just accept this on all your behalf, but you should go to Nepal sometime and you get your own hat.
Thank you again, all my friends and families. Whenever I come, the leadership asks me to share. So I've been thinking and praying, like, you know, what God has for us this morning. And pretty much my expectation right now is very, very high. And I believe that before I came here, I felt that there's a word from the Lord for us this morning. Yeah? I really want you to, like, kind of, like, be ready. You know, keep your hearts open and I think there'll be a word for us from the Lord. Yes. No? Okay. Hey, Nepali style, yes or no?
Yes.
Amen. You know, and Andy asked me to share my story. And the problem with that is, like, I have so many stories. And which one I should share, I struggled. And I was thinking from the day one to now, and I'm thinking from now to the till the day comes. And pretty much I found I have two stories, okay? The stories of the past, and I have the stories of the future. And I remember that this day was the day that I knew was coming 20 years ago. Isn't that amazing? I'll help you how to what I'm trying to say. I remember, like, you know, long time ago, I went to my mom's room, and mom had all those photos of a lot of people that came to my house and gone. And I asked mom, why all these photos on the wall of your room? And my mom said, they're all my friends. And I said, when was the last time you met them or saw them or they wrote to you? And she said, no, they never write to me. They came and preached the gospel and taught us about Bible, and they went back. And I said, like, then how come they are your friend? But you still, like, look at those photos and you pray and you know, they are my friends. And I was thinking, like, I don't want to have a friend who comes to my house and, you know, we celebrate and eat good food and then say goodbye. And then I never get to hear from them till I die. You know, and then, so like, I grew up in a Christian home and a pastor's family. So there was always people coming to my house, you know. Then 95, I met David Roos and a couple of you, you know, and we invited them to come to our place and do the worship and, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I thought that, you know, they are just like the other people that they came and they did the great, you know, ministry and we all got blessed and they went back home. And all I need to do is to put up their photo in my room, in the wall of my room and call them my friends. And that was pretty much my past. And what happened? Guess what happened? And we had a wonderful conference. You know, actually, God really, came down in 1995 in Kalimpong, where like literally like we had miracles and miracles and miracles. We have stories like people playing, you know, on the cranky tape recorder, the song called Break Dividing Walls over the sick children, and kids were getting healed for 8 to 9 months. And then, you know, like we thought that, oh yeah, another in a group of people coming from Canada, and one guy is called David Roos. He's really good on playing keyboard and he sings all the songs, you know. And I'm friend with him for a week, and he'll go back and I'll have his photographs and maybe some tapes in my house, and I'll call myself, I'm a friend of David Roos, okay? And of course he said, Noel, I'm coming back. I'm your friend, I'll come back. And I said, yeah. Manny told me the same thing, that they will come back. And I had no hope, but I did all these good things because I wanted maybe our people will get some blessings, or maybe God will do something to our people through them. And to my surprise, they came back next year. It was unbelievable. He came back with a bigger team next year. And the next year when they came back, there's a couple of like a bunch of like 13 or 14 missionaries. And one of the missionary, as we were driving through a bridge, he saw thousands of stone chippers. They were illegal migrants from Bangladesh. They kind of like sneaked through the riverbed, and all they did was chip stones for the big construction company. And, you know, pretty much most of them were blind, because within 5 years' time, they had no glasses. All they did was chip stones, and they are blind people, eh? And one of the big guy, you know, like, you know, he said, who are these guys? I said, like, they're refugees. And what they do here, I said, they chip stones and sell whatever they collect in the evening to these big companies, construction companies. And he said, like, we need to feed them. And I said, like, we need to feed them? Yeah. And I said, to how many? He said, like, all. No, let's go to the church and do the ministry. Let's go to the church. No, not here. Let's go to Kalimpong. Let's do the ministry in Kalimpong. He said, no. Let's feed them here in the riverbed. And I was thinking, I need to be nice, you know. So, okay. So he said, like, would you find how to, so like, you know, I, then we brought the catering people and cooked a lot of food, you know. And, you know, I mean, I don't know, like we maybe cooked like 300, 400 kg of chicken. I don't know, like, you know, like big wok, like from here to this, you know, wok, you know, the cooking pan. Yeah. From like huge size, you know, I can swim. You know, and then we cooked, and in the evening, then he was like, you know, serving, and there's lines of people, like, you know, they were getting fed. And by the end of the feeding program, then there was all this like dark and dingy and dark and kind of like, you know, they were hiding their face with the blanket, slowly started creeping towards the food. And I didn't know who were there, why they waited so long to get the food. And I found that they were the lepers, the leper people. And I was like, oh, I don't want to be near the leper. And then, and the leader of that, you know, who wants to feed that thousand, was like, fine, yeah, we'll feed the leper. So he started feeding all this leper. And what happened? God was doing something in me. And you know, guess who's that guy? The person? That's John Rademacher. And, you know, like, then they went back, and I thought, okay, now we did the big thing, and they'll never come back. And they came back again. And like, you back again? Yeah. And then Dave says, no, I'm coming back again. Oh, you're coming back again? And back again. And a couple of weeks ago, 2 weeks ago, Dave was in Nepal. He's still coming. And then what happened? You know, and we were doing all this ministry, and God really started changing my heart. God really started touching me, because I thought I understood compassion. I thought I understood mercy. But basically, I realized that I understood acts of mercy. I understood acts of compassion. But when these guys were working with me, when these guys were with me in the riverbed, I realized that the heart of compassion, And the heart of mercy is different than the acts of mercy and the acts of compassion. I grew up doing acts of compassion and acts of mercy all my life. As a Christian, you do this. As a Christian, you do that. But nothing was coming out of my heart. And I realized in the Bible that Jesus, whenever Jesus looked to the crowd, and he did something, people, he did something to the crowd, the scripture says he was filled with the compassion. And out of the compassion, everything came out, started coming out of Jesus. So, in 1998, the leadership felt that me and my wife and my son, Asher, he was a year old, to come to Canada and live with them for 3 months. And, you know, and understand the kingdom and understand the upside down and understand, you know, and understand. And then from there, move to Kathmandu and plant a church. But to me, was to plant a church was pretty easy. Because I grew up seeing my dad plant a church and I was part of my dad's planting churches, okay? And to me was to plant a church was to go to a new city and rent a room and start playing a guitar and put up a board called church and wait for people to show up at the church. And pretty much that's what we did. And I thought I knew all the tricks of how to plant a church, and that's why we were here. And when I came from Nepal, you know, Brand Cree was my small group leader. You know, he was helping me how to plant the church. So I asked him, Brian, when I go to Nepal, what should I do? And he says, you figure it out. I said, you are supposed to be helping me. I mean, I'm here to learn. He says, no, you figure it out. And we lived in the Redwood, you know, that's 468, it's 486, small. And Brand didn't help me. He thought he's the leader and I'm here with my family trying to understand the tricks of all the kingdom. And Brand is my leader and he should tell me how to do all this. He needs to give me a booklet or you know, a paper where I can go 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, that's what I'm going to go to Nepal and that's what I'm going to do. And then what happens? Everybody's excited. We are going to plant the first vineyard church in Kathmandu. Noel Donna, we were like lifted so high, you know, like, oh, Noel Donna, you know. We started a small Nepal house group somewhere, and we are all, everybody was thinking that Noel and Donna is going to change the world in Nepal. And I'm thinking, I can go and plant the church. But something inside was telling me, no, that's not how God wants to plant the church. That's not how God wants to work through us. And I'm like struggling, and to be honest, I was so frustrated with Brand that he didn't even help me. He was saying, God is going to show you. He's saying, God is going to show me. And I'm thinking, I'm asking every day, Lord, show me. And nothing happens. And you know what happens? Guess what happens? The end of the 3 months, they put up a meeting called Vision Night for Nepal. Oh, that means that's the day everybody's going to come to the church. And David's going to lead the worship. And I need to stand and share the vision for Nepal. And I'm thinking, yeah, I can just fake it. I can just say, yeah, I'm going to go to Nepal and it's going to happen. I can say that easy. Nothing wrong with that. The wrong is only I will know I'm lying. And then my heart says no. And Brian was saying, God's going to show you. And God hasn't showed me up to the last moment. And the meeting was supposed to start at 5 o'clock. And I thought that, you know what? In my lifetime, I need to be honest. And I'm going to go to the pulpit and say, no vision. I quit. That was my situation. Guess what? How much money they spent on my family, me, my wife, and kid to come here. You know, they trusted me, they loved me, and they were hoping that, you know, something big is going to happen from this guy, and he's going to share from the pulpit the vision for the future of the Himalayan region and the people, da-da-da-da-da. And, you know, what happens? Up to 5 o'clock, no vision. And I thought maybe I'm going to just make a story. But inside says no. And I started crying, and I told my wife, let's go to the church. And she doesn't know what's happening. And I said, like, I want to go and be honest and say, I didn't get anything from the Lord. So there's no vision. I want quitting now. I'm going home. All your dreams are now. Because that was what my condition was. I'm crying. And I said, Lord, like, I thought I knew everything. I thought you loved me. I thought you'll speak to me, you know. Why you abandoned me in the last minute in front of all these people? that who cared from you loved me, eh? And I started crying. And you know what happens? Just before 5 o'clock, I was about to lock the door. I lost the key of the house. I can't even lock the house now. And I'm looking for the key of the house. And where's the key? We need to go. The vision night already started. And I'm looking for the key here and there. And now 15 minutes is gone. Meeting already started. I'm still in the house. No vision. God hasn't showed me or downloaded me or anything. And there's no key to lock the house. How can I come? Man, that was the what do you call it? Life you don't want to be. I don't know why God puts me to this type of place many times. But anyway, half an hour is gone. No key. And I thought that, wow, Noel, yeah? Noel is going to come. Maybe already worship started. Maybe Dave is in the end of his worship. I'm still in my house trying to find the key. Nothing to share. I'm being honest with you. That moment was like earthquake, bigger than the Nepal's earthquake in my own life, you know. I was shaking and crying and I didn't know what to do. No vision, nothing, okay. And then suddenly, John's maintenance guy, I think, you were, yeah? Yeah, you were there. You showed up on your van, you needed to fix some furnace that was broken. And I asked him, who's the key was the right to the church because we lost the key? Because he knew how to open the... So he closed the door and he gave us a right to the church. The church was on that other one. And it was raining. It was evening. And I was so down. I thought maybe I should just run to the rail track and the rail will just, you know. I didn't want to face this crowd. I didn't want to face David Roos. I didn't want to disappoint him. I didn't want to face John, you know, I didn't want to see anybody. I just wanted to run away somewhere. Then I thought, I just want to go now and just say, no vision. There's no vision for Nepal. I just want to say, I'm sorry. I'm going home. I want to go home. I'm sorry. I failed you guys. That was me. And I said, Lord, if you need to speak to me, if you need to show me there's something about the future, that's time now. Here am I. So I sat on the front seat of his and my wife and Asher was behind. And I sat there. And I don't know what happened. It took, I think, 10 minutes to get here. And suddenly, there's this huge downpour of the future. And this moment was part of that downpour that I saw. God just poured like... I saw everything that what I was supposed to do. Who's going to be the people in the Himalayan region? How many people will find you? I mean, I saw so much downpour, and suddenly I was like, I don't know where I was, but on that van on the front seat, God started like downloading this vision in my life, like so much. Like, and then as soon as the vision ended, I was in front of the church door, and I was ready to share the vision because I knew everything, every detail. And I was like happy now. And when I opened the door, he already finished his worship and he was trying to like kill the time or whatever he was doing. I don't know. He was saying something and I was coming from that door and he was saying, he pointed his finger and said, don't let that vision die. His finger was towards me. And I was like, don't let that vision die. He's kind of like looked at me and like I was there. I was like, don't let that vision die. And you know what? You hear so much stories about Kathmandu, so much stories about people giving life to Christ, so much stories about so many churches, you know, people, da da da. You heard of Nepal, you heard of like good things that God has done, you know, so much of God, so much of kingdom there, you know, but you know, the birthing place of that vision was here for me and for my family. Amen. You know what? This place is, I can say from my perspective, this place is full of Jesus. My wife and I were so surprised because last Tuesday morning, we're in the drop-in. And then we've been going to the drop-in from the very beginning of our journey here. And we always wondered about this drop-in spiritual environment. Because we knew the drop-in spiritual environment. You know what I'm talking about, eh? It was so, I don't want to say, but it was very, very disturbing in the beginning. And somehow we thought that there's a hopelessness in me. I'm thinking like, when this drop-in is going to change? When this drop-in is going to be like the drop-in that I desire? And over the period of time, this last Tuesday, when my wife and I was here with the drop-in people, we were shocked. We were shocked. And my wife was telling me, what happened to this place? There's so much of Jesus in everyone that was here, in the midst of all their weaknesses, in the midst of all their whatever addiction is still there. But there's so much of Jesus, my wife and I saw this last Tuesday morning. And I said, like, what? God is molding the people. The investment that we invested to the lives of the poor and whoever is around us is not wasted. Do you believe that with me? And from you coming from that place and coming here, and yesterday was like, I was like, the line never stopped. The line never stopped. I don't know how many you fed, like we're counting maybe, 600 like hamburger or something like that, eh? And I was thinking like, this place and you in this place are God's chosen people. There's so much of Jesus in your life that we don't see the inside. We are so much focused on the 30% that's outside. And I was so thankful to the Lord, and I looked, what's wrong with us? Why we're always saying, Lord, help us, help us, help us. Lord, help us, help us, help us. We have, in Nepali, we have a song called, Come Lord, come Lord. I told our church, stop singing that song, Hello, come Lord, heal me, Yesterday they came to church, they sang the song, Come Lord, heal me. Then next day they come to church, Come Lord, heal me, Then after 1 year they still sing the same song, Come Lord, heal me. Hey, I said, get up and say, Lord, I'm here, I'm healed. And I look back my story. When I look back my story, I found Jesus came to love me. We all know that, yes? I looked all my stories, I found He died for me on all those stories, amen. There was not even one story about me. All my stories were all mixed and grained his dying for me. And all my stories I checked it, I found that He rose again for me. Not only that, all my stories I found that He gave the Holy Spirit. He left Holy Spirit. He gave me His Holy Spirit to strengthen me to follow Him every day. And also in my story I found that Jesus coming back to take us with Him. So now, then what's wrong with me? Everybody knows this story. Everybody knows this. We all know about Jesus. But what... And I realized that why I needed that vision here. I was okay before I came here. I accepted Christ in my hometown. I used to go to the church and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. But God had to bring me here in order to be downloaded with the vision that God has. Why? And I realized that as a church, we not just live on the past stories. I'm good on my past stories. But I'm also like to talk about the future stories. And sometimes future stories come to you in the form of a vision. You know what is a vision? It is simply God's call, a picture, a call to you for the future. And that's the future story. Vision is a future story for you. And I was thinking, what's my future story? Oh! And then I realized that if God had not given me His vision in the fall of 1998, I could have been a simple Noel thinking, Jesus died for me, He lived me, He went and died for me, He rose again, He's coming back to me, like that Christian. I'll not be doing anything. I'll be simply a good Noel. He came to this earth, He died for me, He rose again, hallelujah. But because I'm here, because we are celebrating this, because I'm so excited now. Why? Because of the vision that God gave me in 1998. And I realized that the deficit in vision leads to spiritual dryness. It's so important for us to look to the future. I'm always telling about the past history, past stories. I'm always telling our church about the future story that's going to come. I tell my wife, oh yeah, you know the future? When you turn 90 years old, I'll be feeding you. And how am I going to feed you? I'm going to chew the rice, nom, 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 and feed you like that. Because you'll have no teeth, I'll have no teeth, and I'd have no energy to go to the mixer grinder. So I'm going to open your mouth. That's my future story. That's the vision I have for me and my wife. And she needs to hear that. She needs to hear that, isn't it? Yeah? And the enemy comes to me and says that, no. Oh, you know what? She's no good, you know. You're going to read together for life. And I'm going to tell the enemy, no, the vision, my future story is that I'm going to be with her. And you know the vision that I have? I just told our church. The vision is that the future story that I have is that one day that there'll be sound, there'll be woo, and we all get to heaven. You know what happens then? And I told my church that I have a story that's coming in the future. And that story is that when we all get to heaven, I will not be the only guy entering in that gate. And the God will say, who's that guy? Oh, the angels will say, oh, that's Noel, the pastor of, you know, that vineyard. And why, he's by himself. Why is by himself? Oh, you know, he was a good pastor, you know, but he never loved these people. He never encouraged these people. He's just by himself. But I told my people, I have a future story. And that future story is that when Jesus calls us, there'll be a sound. There'll be like a big sound, you know, sound of like rumbling sound. And God will say, hey, what's happening? And say, hey, angel, check out who's coming. And angel says, oh, Jesus, Lord, that's Noel and all the crew, all his people. Oh, there's thousands and thousands coming. There's a huge crowd coming. That's why I like to encourage all of us. I like to love you. I like to love people. I like to you know, say, let's get up. Let's rise up. Let's love each other. Let's encourage each other. So we all can. That's the future story. I want to welcome you to that future story. The vision. The vision is different. You know what? I knew that this day was coming when I was here in 1998. And you know what? I also know there's a story that's coming. And I live for that story. That I call that hope, okay? I was telling my wife always tells me, ask the Lord to give us the strength for today and hope for tomorrow. And I'm so much into vision. When we lack vision, when we don't have vision, we cannot move forward. The word vision, we need to ask the Lord to give us vision for everything, for our children, for our family, for our relationship, for our churches, for our every situation. Let's shout. Let's start sharing our vision for our future. Because the past was good. Amen. My past was good. And so far, I think my present is also good. But the vision that God has given me will lead me to where God wants us to. I have no desire to go up there by myself. That's why I go to places and places. That's why I pray for people. That's why we love each other. That's why we encourage each other. How wonderful will it be when we all get there? That's the future story I'm talking, okay? When you all get there, I not just go myself, but David Roos will be with me here. John and Violet, you know, and Deborah and all my friends, you know, and my wife with me. What happens if my wife is not there? And Lord will say, no, you came with David Roos, but where's your wife? Oh, Lord, you know what? I was the problem, you know. I just, you know. No. We live in the future. For the future. I'm just trying to share, you know. It says, Habakkuk 2:2, it says, the righteous shall live by faith. And the Lord answered me, write the vision. We have to write the vision, it says. Make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. For still the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Amen. And sometimes, you know what? We want tomorrow to be now. It's not going to happen. But till tomorrow comes, we need to do what God has asked us to do. And today, I just want to encourage you, all the church, ask the Lord so that God will give us a vision for the next season. I think God is refreshing our vision that God has given us 20 years ago. I feel I'm in a season that I need a refreshed vision. I need some you know, topping off on the vision that God has given me 20 years ago. I need a little bit of top off. I need a little bit of strength. A little bit of like supplements. Because the next season will be good. If the vision that God had given me and to us 20 years ago, and if we ask the Lord now to refresh it, to strengthen it, I think we can actually make it till the end. And you know what? I have a desire to come back if Jesus doesn't show up in the next 20 years and still do this again together. And for that, I want to welcome all the people, all of us, to stand together and say, Lord, yes, we made it so far, but here am I for the refreshing of the vision. Because without vision, people perish, the Bible says. And actually it says, we need prophetic visions. We need a prophetic visions. And we know it's available to us. It took me 3 months to finally hear what God has for me, what God had for the people of Nepal and the Himalayan region, what God had for the dying and the poor and the sick. And you know what? It's all there right now. It's all there. Up to now, it's all there. But it's more coming. I hope you understood my heart this morning. Let's not walk without vision. We each need to have a vision embedded in our life that will lead us to that. That's like a guidance. That's like a path. That's like a trail for us to get to where God wants us to. You know, share your vision. Create a vision. Create your own story for the future. What's your story? You know, you go home and talk about, oh, I want to create a story. I want to dream a story for us for the future. Nathan can go home and say, you know what, Kendra, I want to dream a story for the future. That you and me together, after 15 years, you know what? You're stronger than me. And I'm on the stage. That's just kidding, you know? Something like that. Just, Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Vision. We need vision. A renewed vision. A refreshed vision. To move forward. To move forward. I knew He died for me. I knew He loved me. I knew He rose again. I knew all this. It's all good. If we just get stuck there only, if we just stay there, it's not going to move us forward. We need to move forward because God wants to walk with us. God wants to take us to where He wants us to. I've thought many times that, you know, when the earthquake struck in Nepal, 55,000 people, died. And I realized that I have one life here on this earth to live. Of course, then I have my life up there. You know, and I'm like, you know, almost 50 now. You know, I have nothing to lose. And I decided myself that every day, for the story that's going to come, every day that I want to be surrounded by God's love. He loved us. I want to be surrounded by His love every day till that day comes. I don't want to spend my time wondering. I don't want to spend my time trying to find answers that I don't need now. I don't want to be this and that. I just want to be a simple guy and say, Jesus, I love you. No matter. I'm in this moment of after the earthquake, in this moment I'm thinking, I just want to be simple. And every day I just say, Jesus, I love you. I don't want to have question Him too much. I don't want to ask Him all the things. I don't want to why this and that. I just say, Jesus, I love you. Just surround me with your love. And that's how I want to live. And you know what? Once I do that, I believe that He's going to keep speaking to me. I believe that He's going to keep taking care of me. I believe that He's going to keep leading me. I believe that He's going to keep showing me this path that I need to. So, today, from visionless to the vision, from visionless to the vision for the next season of our life, something that keeps me going back to Nepal. As a person, I like to move to Canada. As a human being, I like to move to Canada. Nice place. Yeah, everybody moves to Canada. Why not me? But something keeps me going back to Nepal is the vision. And that's the life for me. That's the life for me. And vision is the future story. It's the coming story for us. And I am a person that dreams. I'm the person that want to see what's going to happen in 10 years. And I want to work towards that. I want to be patient towards that. I want to be diligent towards that. And that's why I want to welcome you. And together, I think we can make it. I think together we can do it. Let's love each other. Let's encourage each other. Let's forget about each other's small stuff, eh? It doesn't matter anymore. Let's just say, I love you, you know what? Let's just encourage each other. Let's say, you know what? Let's walk together. Small things. It's not a huge thing. Small things. I don't know whether this WCB will have all the answers for me or not. I don't care. I love WCB. Whether you'll give me all the answers or not, I don't care. I'm not here for answers. I'm here to just hang out with you. Because I know you're not my solutions. You're not my answers. But I know you are my friend. We'll hug each other to walk to that journey. And we will make it to that place. I'm just welcoming you to ask the Lord to strengthen us and give us vision this morning. Yes?
Yes?
Yes.
Yes.
From visionless to full of vision. Amen?
Amen.
Yes.